Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm Dean Vitale, being joined by our host and lifelong pastor, John Bell. John, you know, this is an interesting subject today. First of all, do you think that people have the thoughts of angels? It's kind of all messed up. Do you think that?
Sure. Yes. I mean, whenever you have any truth, like the truth of angels, the reality of angels, you always have people that read too much into it. And then you have people that just deny their existence at all. And the reason is because they dwell in the spiritual realm. They are spiritual beings. They're not physical beings. So there are two dimensions. There's the physical dimension, and there's the spiritual dimension. And angels work in the spiritual dimension, but the work that they do in the spiritual dimension has impact in the physical dimension.
All right, so let me stop you right there, and let's start with the question for this episode of Off the Cuff, and it is, what do angels do in the world today?
Okay. You're talking about in the physical realm, right?
Yes.
Okay. So first off, let me just say that there are millions and millions of angels, and the question I would actually start with would be, why did God even create angels? Because everything that angels can do, God could do by himself. He doesn't need angels to do what he does, just like he doesn't need human beings. But God is...
That's something I never thought of. I mean, why angels, God? I've never thought of that, but go ahead.
Okay, that's all right. So again, you have to think, we don't know how many dimensions there are. We know for sure that there are two, but there are estimates that there could be 5, 7, 9 different dimensions of things. The two that we are aware of are the physical world, which is described in Genesis 1. So God created a whole new dimension, and it's the physical dimension. It's the dimension that we can see, we can smell, we can taste, we can hear, we can touch. It's all the sensory perceptions, the physical world. And so many people make the mistake of thinking the physical world is the only physical dimension, the physical world is the only one that exists. So we were created, Dean, as the high point of the physical creation. And we were given responsibility to govern. Why did God create human beings? God created human beings because he created a physical realm, and human beings were supposed to govern, administrate, and rule over that dimension.
We're top of the food chain.
We're top of the food chain in the physical realm, again, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
But there's a spiritual dimension to us as well. We're unique creatures in the sense that we are physical and spiritual. Angels are purely, for the most part, I mean, they sometimes show up in scripture in human form, but they're just taking on human form, and it's always temporary. But they really were, why did God create angels? Because there's a whole spiritual realm, and here's what God intended. God doesn't need angels, as we said before, in order to accomplish things. So he created them so that they would be part of his governance, just as man was created to lead the way in the administration in the physical realm. So angels were created as ministering spirits so that in the spiritual realm, they would carry out the commands and the wishes of God. So God is overall. God sits on the throne over all dimensions. So angels, as I said before, angels, they're primarily to govern to administrate is probably better, to minister in the spiritual realm. Now, remember, a third of the angels, and that, you know, there could be millions, even billions of angels. A third of the angels actually fell. So sometime early on in creation, we don't know when angels were created. They might have been created before man was created. They might have been created while the whole creation of the physical realm was being created, Genesis 1. Probably somewhere in there, but there was a rebellion, and Lucifer, which is son of the morning, which we know today as Satan or the devil, the adversary, he led a rebellion because he wanted to be like God. And just here's the thing, too, about angels. There are ranks. There are principalities and powers. The rabbis actually taught that there were seven levels of angels. You know, there were the cherubim and the seraphim and the archangels and then the regular angels. So remember, God is a God of order. So he governs through order, and there's rank and file among angelic beings. And there's rank and file in the demonic realm because Satan always imitates. So just as God has a hierarchy of angels to govern in the spiritual realm and to minister from the spiritual realm into the physical realm, so Satan. And here's what's going on, really. There's a war going on in that spiritual realm between Satan and his angels and the angels of God. And of course, we're caught up in that conflict. I mean, and angels, you know, here's what angels do. Without getting into this a lot, they are there before the throne of God, and they are there to witness and to minister to the grandeur and glory of God. But at the same time, they are also been sent into the world, and they minister to saints. So one of the classic passages is in Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. And here's what it says. Are they not all, that is angels, ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So in this case, they not only exist for the grandeur and glory of God, but they also exist for the sake of Christians, for those who inherit salvation. And they are sent to serve us. They're sent to protect us in the demonic warfare that Satan would apply to us. And there's a battle taking place. There's an interesting passage in Scripture where it talks about when Moses was going to heaven, there was a battle over the body of Moses between the demonic forces and the angelic forces. So here's some things that we read in Scripture that they do. They're ministering spirits on our behalf. They announced the birth of Jesus to Mary. Remember that? That was the angel Gabriel. Then they announced the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah and Elizabeth. They also went to Joseph, and then they went to the shepherds. And by the way, it says angelic hosts were gathered around that scene in Bethlehem that we know. The word hosts actually means armies. So why were those hosts there? They weren't there just to announce the birth of Jesus. They were there as a mighty army to make sure that no one got near that baby. After Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, they ministered to Jesus. In the resurrection, they rolled the stone away from Jesus' grave. They opened the prison doors for the apostles in the book of Acts. They told Philip, the evangelist, where to go. They spoke to unbelievers, and they still do that today. In Acts chapter 10, which you would love because he was of the Italian cohort, they spoke to Cornelius about salvation. And then we're told that the second coming of Jesus, not only are we coming with him as those with the white robes out of heaven, but thousands, millions upon millions of angels will also join Jesus in the second coming. So they minister to the saints, they execute God's will, they magnify the grandeur of God. And here's the last one I would say. They call attention to the worth of every believer. Matthew 18:10 says an interesting thing. It says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." So the little ones there are believers. And here's what it's saying. It's saying there is a heavenly host in God's service on the behalf of every believer. And they continually stand before the throne of God on their behalf.
Mm. All right, so let me ask you a question. Can we pray for angels' protection?
I think you just pray for, here's the way it works. God is the governor. God is over all. You can ask God for help and leave it to God to send you what kind of help you need. And he may decide to send angels on your behalf. And remember, angels are continually, not just one guardian angels, but a host of angels is always representing you before God on your behalf.
I remember scripture labeling legions of angels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we can't pray and summons them as believers. What you're saying is we pray to God for that protection, and God decides on how he's going to see that plan through. Is that right?
Right. It's like going, you don't go to the governor and say, "This is what I'd like for you to do." You go to the governor and you say, "I need some help. What can you do for me?" And at the disposal of God is the possibility of him using angels on your behalf.
So what about the guardian angel that we hear about? Oh, you know, my guardian angel is protecting me. And they seem to make it singular that we have a guardian angel. Is that true?
No, as I said before, you know, that first verse I gave you from Hebrews chapter 1, that is the classic verse. And it's the one that says, you know, they are ministering spirits on our behalf. So I would go back and say what I said before, that it's not just one angel, that we have, it's angels, it's plural, it's never singular.
And John, how powerful are they?
Well, they're much more powerful than us, of course, which one of the amazing things is, you know, someday 1 Corinthians 6 says, we will rule everything, including angels. That means we have yet to leapfrog over angels. So angels see us in our current state, and they're like, really? They're going to rule over us? But yeah, they're all powerful. You know, in scripture, you can have like one angel killing 1,000 people. So yeah, they're unbelievably powerful.
Now I remember learning this, and I just want you to confirm or say, no, that's off-basting. Do angels look at believers almost as like, wow, you are the luckiest and you have no idea?
Yeah, well, only, and you know, it says in 1 Peter that with regard to our salvation, because remember when Satan fell, he was not given a chance for redemption and reconciliation. When in the spirit realm, when you decide to go against God, that's a permanent decision. But because we are body, soul, and spirit, we have the unique ability, even though man is fallen, we've been given the unique ability to be redeemed by Jesus Christ, and then to be restored. And someday we're actually going to be put back in the original position that God intended for us, which is to rule the world. So, and it says, Peter talks about it, and he says, our salvation is so great that angels long to look into it and understand it, because the concept is so foreign to them.
Mm-hmm. So another thing that I learned, and again, I don't know, I want to ask you, are certain angels almost scary looking?
Well, they can be frightening. Sure, absolutely. They can be. I don't know about scary looking. I think it has more to do with when you meet a really powerful person, I would say they can be very an angel. If you met an angel, you would be intimidated by them.
So I remember multiple sets of wings and multiple sets of eyes, and it's frightening.
Yeah, and that's actually the cherubim. We don't really know if angels have wings. We know the cherubim do. That comes from Isaiah chapter 6. And the cherubim are the creatures that are continually around the throne of God and giving him glory, honor, and praise. In fact, it says they continually are before the throne, flying around the throne, and they are continually saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. So you have those attending the throne of God, they're the highest of the angels, and they are continually around the throne.
And then lastly, when we go to heaven, will angels be there?
Sure, absolutely. They'll be, and you know, one of these days, Dean, you and I are going to be able to cross from one dimension to the other. I mean, the wonderful thing.
I want to save that. I know that's.
One of the things
we talked about.
Yeah,
that.
One of the things about Jesus is you have to remember that as Jesus was living his life, because he was so in tune with God and so in tune with the Spirit of God, and with the, he could see the conflict, the spiritual conflict, and he could see the spiritual conflict manifest itself into the physical realm. And so he not only knew the result, he knew the source of what was going on. And one of these days, you and I are going to be able to, we'll have the ability to move between the spiritual and the physical realm. But we'll be physical beings, because that's what God intended for us. But we'll also be given the insight, like Jesus, to see into the spiritual realm as well.
Yeah, absolutely astounding. Unbelievable, incredible. All right, John, that's about our time. So, I appreciate it. Thanks for the clarity. And if you stumbled across this podcast and you'd like to know, hey, where do I learn more? Where can I listen to more of these episodes, you can go to our website, and that's AmazingMenMinistries.com, AmazingMenMinistries.com. You can find us at Instagram and follow us there, and that's also Amazing Men Ministries. Our Facebook is, again, Amazing Men Ministries. And on Twitter, our handle's just a little different. It's Amaze, A-M-A-Z, Man, M-A-N, and then ministry, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. So you can follow us on our Instagram, on our Facebook, and our Twitter, and go to the direct to our website at AmazingMenMinistries.com, and you can listen to our body of work, and you can watch our body of work, and you can do that by going up on top of the navigation bar and choosing series, and then there'll be a drop-down menu, and you can choose off the cuff if you want to listen. You can choose Wow Church, which is something new John and I are working on. And you can choose our Core of a Man, our men's series, and that's an 18-part video series where you can download a free book. So we thank you for listening. On behalf of our lifelong pastor, John Bell, looking forward to talking and sharing again soon. Have a great day.